Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners are warned that the following podcast program may contain stories, names and voices of deceased persons.
This is Outback Out Loud.
People and stories from Outback New South Wales.
The most amazing little town there could ever be. I love it.
I left to come out west and I came out Jillaroo-ing at Warren. And from there, that's where I started my love affair again with the Western Plains, and I've never left Western Plains from there.
It's a great little spot to live.
You know, just everything about Louth I love.
Just home as far as I'm concerned.
Outback Out Loud!
That's what I like.
Welcome to Outback Out Loud.
In this season, we explore stories and life experiences from the most remote centres in New South Wales.
Let's hear from historian Dr. Mary Ann Jebb about Byrock.
Byrock is a small village in northwestern New South Wales, in Nyumpa country. The landscape is mostly flat to gently undulating, with mulga, cypress pine and bimblebox woodlands on red sandy soils. Unlike the more fertile alluvial flats along the Bogan River itself to the east, Byrock sits on the drier, rocky country at the edge of the catchment, where surface water is scarce. The rock holes at Byrock are a striking feature of this setting. 500 metres from the town site, they are a series of naturally formed depressions in the sandstone, like natural water tanks, that hold rainfall and runoff, making them a rare and dependable water source in a landscape where creeks often run dry. The name Byrock is derived from the Nyumpa word by, referring to a water rock hole. Long before European settlers arrived, Nyumpa people knew the land intimately. The Byrock rock holes were sacred and practical, sustaining people, animals and plants across the Western Plains. The Nyumpa learned to read the signs of the land, knowing which holes held water through the seasons, which plants marked safe drinking spots, and how to move across country without depleting these precious resources. The rock holes were more than water sources. They were places of ceremony, teaching, and connection. Elders would gather families at the holes to share stories of creation, to pass knowledge of survival, and to mark important seasonal events. The water holes were part of a living network, linking people, animals and plants in a cycle that had endured for thousands of years. The Byrock pastoral run was established in the 1850s when squatters pushed west from the Bogan and Castlereagh rivers. Like many early western New South Wales stations, Byrock began as a large sheep run, often worked from out camps rather than a central homestead. When Europeans moved into the district in the 1850s with sheep and cattle, these same rock holes became critical for stock and travellers, leading to conflict over water. Accounts from the frontier suggest that violence occurred around Byrock as settlers fenced lands and monopolised the wells, displacing Aboriginal families. By the 1870s, Byrock was a small but strategic settlement where Cobb & Co. coaches stopped to water their horses. In the early years, campsites formed around the rock holes with small inns and shanties built nearby to provide basic meals and shelter. Byrock Pastoral Station remained and many Aboriginal people continued to live near the land, working the stock and in the homesteads. The isolation that made the rock holes so crucial also made them hiding places for bushrangers. Local stories suggest that outlaws operated in the area in the 1860s and 70s. The rock holes could have been tempting places for bushrangers who knew coaches would stop there. Police patrols were stationed periodically in Byrock to counter bushrangers, and the inns there were known meeting places where both lawmen and outlaws passed through. In 1879, the Mulga Creek Hotel began operating as a Cobb & Co. change station at Byrock. The arrival of the Great Western Railway in 1884 further facilitated growth, and by 1886, the population had reached approximately 500 residents. At its peak, Byrock had 10 stores, 5 hotels, a school, a post office, a butcher shop, and a baker's shop. In 1885, Byrock was the rail terminus, and there were 300 men working to extend the line to Bourke. The Australian Town and Country newspaper ran a long article about BIROC, focusing on the clouds of dust that frequently permeate the atmosphere. Stores, houses and the school had been built along the rail, opposite open flatlands, that because of dry conditions had no grass and had become a dust bowl. The railway station was a small weatherboard structure, but 30 men were working to build a substantial structure. BIROC was to be an important rail connection for transporting wool and stock and delivering goods and stock feed in the Bourke, Cobar, Brewarrina district. By 1885, water was a big issue. The rock holes did not provide drinking water for the growing town. It had to be carted by rail from Narromine and was sold for a penny a gallon, then a serious expense. There were, according to the newspaper article, a great number of teamsters who gathered at the town. Many watered horses and stock at Mulga Creek and the rock holes. These men, in addition to the hundreds of men building the railway, made the town a frontier town of many men. There were several hotels that provided accommodation and had large dining rooms like mess halls. Each hotel did a roaring trade in alcohol. As rail technology progressed and nearby regional centres came to dominate trade, the town never developed into a major settlement. The rock holes are a listed heritage site and remain a vital and significant part of Nyampa culture and history. Despite its reduced size, BIROC remains a testament to the region's rich history.
There's such a small population in BIROC. We bumped into Rochelle Tomeo and her son outside the BIROC pub.
We're under the tree beside BIROC pub. It's raining, it's amazing. It's a funny story how we ended up in BIROC. Mum found a newspaper article with different towns and BIROC was one of them, and I rang up and bought the block of land. We arrived after we paid for it. It's the most amazing little town there could ever be. I love it. It's quiet and everybody knows everybody. It is isolated, like medical is very hard to get out here, but it's worth living out here. It's amazing. And now that the publican has come in and has kids, it's great because he was the only one in his age group by himself for many years. He has met Lim, and I think it was today. They love the park at the pub. It's a really nice park. Oh, the pub is amazing. Without the pub, the town, it would be very, very sad. It has a post office, it has the pub, it provides meals. It's an incredible social network that is amazing.
Let's head into the Mulga Creek Hotel in BIROC, where Megan and Byron have just taken ownership. We're going to hear about them buying the pub and have a chat with their family and staff.
Yep, so my name is Megan. I own the Mulga Creek Hotel. We are a outback hotel, sort of in between Ningen and Bourke. We have a caravan park behind us, so we sit on 35 acres, and we try to keep it very authentic, very outback experience, but neat and tidy. We were living in Roxby Downs in South Australia and were mining, so my husband and I are both in mining. I worked in corporate affairs and he worked as a diesel mechanic. And we sort of moved into South Australia and moved into the city thinking it was the right move for our kids. When we moved there, I worked for the Royal Flying Doctor, and sadly we lost my mum in September last year. And when we lost her, we started sort of thinking, what's next? Like, this is, you know, we sort of lived for her. She was not very well. So we thought, okay, the kids were sort of really struggling with not having her around. So I took a step back from my role at the Royal Flying Doctor and I started working remotely for a company in BIROC that tests dangerous goods. And when I started that, we did that for a while and I was doing it all remotely for their admin. And then they asked me to come over and see the range, and we did. We came over to see what the range looked like and what it was we did. And while we were here, my husband actually came over and got the kids some hot chips. And at the time, the owner of the company I worked for, which was also my cousin, said, you should look at purchasing the pub. And we'd sort of said, oh, I don't really think it's for us. Like, you know, we've got a pretty good career. And then my husband came back with the chips and he said, Megan, I think you might want to see that pub.
Came out here to visit some family and walked into the pub and fell in love. We knew it was for sale through family member that we were out here visiting. So he mentioned that it was for sale and that he thought it might be a good thing for me and Megan to look at. And we both said, yeah, got rocks in your head. We've just moved out of being in the remote regions of South Australia. We don't need to go back to being in the remote regions of New South Wales. And then, yeah, we came out here and realised that, yeah, the remote regions of Australia are where we felt most at home and comfortable. It's not old by pub standards at all, built in 1984, but the character and the charm that it does carry, yeah, as soon as you walk in, it doesn't feel like a 45-year-old building, yeah, by any stretch of the imagination. The mulga, the beefwood of the bar and all the tabletops, and there's, yeah, character everywhere you turn. And
when you first walk in, you see a bunch of hats and they all have different stories. A lot of people that travel there give them, or I think it's a donation to Royal Flying Doctors, to be honest. But they all have a story, they all have their names on it, different places where they've lived. The bar is all mulga wood, along with the bar stools crafted by a local. When you first walk in, or you first see the pub, you see the big Mulga Creek name on the roof, so that's pretty cool. But there's just a lot of character in the bar in general, and then you're greeted by the locals typically of the night, and they're amazing people. Like, I've met so many really nice people, and Brody and Megan really kind of embody the whole entire atmosphere of the pub, to be honest. Like, they're very new, but they're doing a great job fitting in with the locals and really using a lot of the locals in employment and things like that. So it's really nice. They're really sticking to the hometown instead of bringing a lot of people in.
We get a lot of locals, local graziers. We get a lot of truck drivers, grey nomads, people travelling. We've started to get a lot of families that are travelling as well. And fundraising groups. So we get a lot of big groups that come and stay and they camp at the back and they do their fundraising efforts here. So we just recently had Westpac Helicopter Rescue here. They were doing what's called the Drover's Run, and it was a big group of them raising funds. So while they were here, they did some auctioning and they raised $4,500 while they were staying here at the pub, just from locals purchasing some stuff from their auction. So that was really cool. So we get a lot of those as well, just big group bookings.
I'd never been behind a bar. I'd always been on the other side of a bar my whole life. Spent a lot of money on the other side of a bar getting served drinks. Having to learn, I suppose, yeah, how to pour, and then, yeah, just a constant juggling act of trying to figure out what you need and what we're gonna need supplier-wise. And at the start of the week, we sort of order, and then it's here by the Friday. So order on a Monday morning, here on a Friday. Obviously, there's a lot of days in between there, and like, we had an impromptu stop from the Queensland Variety Bash last week on, I think it was Tuesday morning, and they basically bought every carton of beer that we had, drank probably 3 kegs. It was all said and done. It was 8:30 until about 11:30, and they were gone. But there was, yeah, 100-odd carloads of people sort of just walked in the morning, and I walked out to say g'day and show the 2-year-old a couple of the cars, and that was it. They asked if we were open, if we could sell alcohol, and I said, yeah, like, license, rah, 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 and that was that. Yeah, that sort of threw our week of ordering out the door, because then you'd already placed all your orders for the week, thinking that you had a certain stock level, which we now didn't have. So, yeah, drop everything and drive into Bourke and do some emergency supplies. I mean, Paul and Gail did it for 14 years, and
they had some chicks.
Well, yeah, a lot of little things, and basically just be over prepared.
I live in Byron.
Where at?
At the Mugger Creek Hotel.
Name?
My name's Claire, and we live in Byron at the Mugger Creek Hotel.
What do you think about Byron? What did you think when you first got here?
It was new, and I didn't really feel like I would fit in here.
What do you think about it now that you've been here for a while?
It's great.
What do you think, Grace?
It's really good.
What are your favourite things about Byrock?
The sand.
The red sand?
I have an uncle here.
Yeah?
And owning the pub.
What's the best thing about owning the pub?
That there's no people coming in every day. And there's also customers.
And what kind of things do you do as a kid here in Byrock?
Play on get dirty. Play on the playground in the backyard.
And you get to ride your bikes?
Ride that bike.
And how do you two do school?
Online, and we also go to school.
So it's called, what is it called?
Distance Ed.
Do you like that?
Yes.
What do you like about it?
That we get to go on a snow trip. And there's...
Do you like learning at home?
Yes. I like learning at home and going on the computer. So do I.
Oh, tell us about the business that you've started.
Yeah. Me and Claire go down to the caravan park and sell wood.
Firewood.
So people can light their own fire.
How much is it?
$81.
No, it's $20.
$20.
For a bag
of wood.
Cash only?
Or a box of wood.
And where do you get the wood from?
Our dad chops it.
No, where do we get it from? Who helped you do it?
Colin.
And?
Greg.
So do you go out chopping with them?
No, Dad does all the work. We get to watch him.
Yeah, but you did go to the mill, didn't you?
What mill?
The wood mill. Who went to the wood mill? Only
me.
You. Yeah. What happened there?
So Greg and then he spindled the stuff out in the firewood, and then he put it in our trailer.
And then you bag it up?
Well, we have it in the boxes, and then we sell it.
We haven't got any bags yet.
Box is good. We're waiting for some recycled feed bags from their uncle's partner. She's going to bring us some feed bags from her horses, and we're just going to recycle them with some wood.
Just stop in. You guys won't be disappointed. I'll say I like going to pubs when I drive different places, and this one, I don't know if I would stop, to be honest, to start with. You know, you don't really see it right away, and then all of a sudden it's there. But definitely turn in, because if I was to drive by this pub, I'd be disappointed. So it's definitely full of a lot of character, and it's a really great pub.
Heading east towards Macquarie Marshes, there's a tiny community called the Murra. Here's the students from the local school.
My name's Amelia, and I go to Murra Creek Public School. We've got 8 kids in our school and 2 kindergartners. We all go in the same classroom, and our library's a couple of steps away from the school, which is pretty good. We have lots of gum trees and, yeah.
We live in this really tiny school, and there's like a lot of things that you can do. Like you can play on the monkey bars in the sandpit and like really anywhere. And you can climb trees and all that stuff. And yeah, and it's really cool. And we have a sports shed with heaps of sports equipment and a playground with S-wide monkey bars, eyes and sand, and we can play like sand toys and farm animals. It's so much fun.
I like to, at lunch, I like to go to the sports shed and get a football and play football with my, with Georgie and Salem. Probably play in the playground and go on the monkey bars and stuff like that.
Why do you like riding motorbikes?
Because I get to be with my dad on it, and it's so fun.
Okay. Out of all your baby animals, Edie, what's your favourite?
I think it would be a baby cat.
Salem, why do you like dogs?
Sometimes I ride my motorbike so I can follow Cobba, a cattle dog, and he always goes for the cattle.
That flies in his helicopter. I wanted to be a pilot in a helicopter. We saw thousands of trees, and we just see pigs every time.
Where do you like riding horses?
I like riding them on my farm, Pilliclorna, and my horse is called Smoko, and we just gallop along paddocks.
I usually catch carp and silver perch, mostly silver perch at my grandpa's place, because I have a dam with three types of fish, silver perch, yellow belly and cod, and we can never catch the cod. And then we go canoeing, and then it's like we put the lure on the thing, and then we paddle our boats. One time my grandpa named Pa, he was riding in a brim, and he just got it out, and then it just got off the hook, but it was just in the air, and then it got away.
Ellie, why do you like unicorns?
Because they're beautiful.
Have you ever seen a unicorn in the bush?
Yes, it was making cupcakes.
Thanks for listening. To hear more amazing stories from Outback New South Wales, check out the whole Outback Out Loud series, now streaming everywhere.
We acknowledge and celebrate the first Australians on whose traditional lands we meet and work, and whose cultures are among the oldest continuing cultures in human history. Please like, subscribe, rate us and write a review. The Outback Out Loud podcast was designed and produced by Signal Creative. Season 4 of Outback Out Loud has been made by Outback Arts. You can find Outback Arts at outbackarts.com.au or on Facebook and Instagram. This season was made possible with funding support from the Regional Arts Fund. On-ground support this season came from Marnie Vaughan and Andrew Hull. Outback Out Loud Season 4 was researched, consulted, recorded and edited by Emma Hoy. Thank you to everyone who's been involved over the last 5 years.